Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, October 16th, 2016. The Reverend Wendy Camori Steger is preaching a series for this stewardship month. The sermon today is, What is Money Anyways? The gospel reading today is Matthew 6, verses 19 through 24.
Ways. Here's our scripture for today, Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 19 to 24. Comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and it may sound familiar to folks. It seems like a more familiar passage somehow. Jesus says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." Please join me in a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, by your mysterious power, you continue to work in our hearts, in our minds, in our world. We call upon you to be with us now as we interpret your scriptures. Help us to know what your word means for us this day, individually, in our families, for our church, and for the world, so that in hearing your voice, we might live more faithfully in the days and weeks ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, this is show and tell. You get to pull out your wallet, and I'm going to ask you to pull out some money that you have on you right now. I invite you to pull out, like, the larger money, like, not a penny, right? You might pull out your large denomination bill. I have a 20 that came out of the ATM. And I invite you to hold this during the entire sermon. So not just like, okay, now we're done talking about it, stick it back in your pocket, okay? We're talking about money today. Like, what is this stuff? And money, like anything we find it hard to talk about, has a lot of slang. So we refer to this with all kinds of names. What do you call this stuff? What? It's a buck. Yeah. What else? Cash. Huh? Dough, like bread, right? What? Rent.
Bones.
Ducats.
Lettuce.
Dinero, yeah. Moolah, anybody call this stuff moolah? Green, yeah. 10 spot, loan me a 10 spot. Gravy.
Bank,
yeah. This stuff is bank. David, I can't believe you stopped with three. You probably have like 10 more in your head, right? Hip-hop artists, what do they call it? What do they call this stuff? Cream? Skrilla, yeah. Yeah. Cabbage? So, paper? Yeah, greenbacks, right? What? Dead presidents, yeah, yeah. So we have it with us. I asked you to pull some out. We carry this stuff around with us quite often, and this doesn't even count. The debit card with the chip in it, the credit card, plastic, checkbooks. Maybe some of you are using Apple Pay. But what is this anyways? Are you jumping ahead on the sermon? You're being like Howard today. Okay. So, legal tender. It's been around for a long time, money, currency, right? We have references to shekels in the Old Testament, but where did this thing come from? Did it come on the sixth day of creation? Did God make this? No. It's a medium of exchange. Thank you, Clint. Howard had it too. Okay. Hold on to that thought. Okay. Unless you want to, we can trade places. I'll sit down and... Well, here we go. That's the next part of my sermon. So, mini history lesson for today on the history of money. Yes, money's an instrument of exchange for when we start trading with each other. But bartering breaks down with timing. Remember, if a wheat farmer wants to trade wheat for apples, and the wheat's ready before the apples are ready, then how are you going to trade one for one? So you can do the wheat to money, and then the money can later go for apples. So it's a medium of exchange. It's this legal tender. So on one level, we know money can be exchanged for stuff. What do you think you could exchange for the bill you're holding in your hand? Huh? A Slurpee? What? Some food? Yeah, groceries? Pumpkin spice latte. Yes. Yeah. But here's the thing. Money's got to be more than just the exchange. Otherwise, we wouldn't struggle so much with it. Money's more deeply intertwined with our emotions and our beliefs. Different people around us have different understandings of money. And so it's something I ask couples to talk about in premarital counseling. Are you more of the spender or the saver? Do you like to look and balance your checkbook? Or are you a free spirit and it's just all going to work out? So many divorces and marriages you hear about come over arguments about money. That's because the argument isn't really about the dollar bill. It's not about this. Money means more to us. We give it all these other meanings. For some of us, money is power. And in this election season, where money is flowing to support or fight against propositions on the ballot or candidates, we say money talks. We talk about the power of the purse strings. And we tiptoe around not offending a generous donor who gives a lot of money, because we don't want the money to go away. And we treat people who are that way a little differently than we treat somebody who's not giving as much. Some would say money is security. I really connect with this one. If I have enough money, then I'll be okay and I'll be peaceful. But here's the thing, how much do you need to be secure? We seem to want more and more and more. And how can anybody be secure when there are things that go outside of our control all the time? Be it natural disasters, a new medical diagnosis, personal tragedy. So money can provide some buffer, but it can also disappear. Enron, your whole pension fund, gone. The stock market downturn, or even the house that you used a lot of money to put into, gets hit by a hurricane. Some people link money to self-worth, that having money brings social acceptance. We in the United States like to ask, what do you do for a living? Or before you retired, what did you do for a living? And we judge each other by what the response is to that question, and a bit by what we think they might have been earning. Oh, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm a fast food server. Sounds really different than, what do you do for a living? Oh, I'm the CEO of a fast food chain. And do you really want your daughter marrying a person who's a struggling artist? Or in your secret heart of hearts, do you think a computer programmer for Google might really be better for her? Some people believe that this stuff is evil. That money's bad. Because we've seen it used to push people around and manipulate people. And we hear scriptures about rich young rulers who should be giving more away. I ask myself questions like, can a faithful Christian be super affluent? Or are we all called to be ascetics, giving up material life and living in a commune? Or even more like the alternative lifestyle at the Burning Man Festival. There's no money allowed at Burning Man. No money allowed. And they're saying we have a different economy. But is this stuff really evil? I don't think so. It gets misquoted in the Bible that money is the root of all kinds of evil. But this is misquoted. This comes out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Anybody have it, what it really says?
For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil.
Yes, for the love of money is a root, not the root, of all kinds of evil. So this thing in itself isn't bad, it isn't good, it's neutral. It's not good or evil. Remember that history of money. This is an exchange. This is an exchange. So given that this is an exchange, Jesus is still talking about it. It's important to us. And our text for today, he's saying, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes. So in biblical times, money could be a coin, but your money and your treasure could also be rich fabrics, dyed well. So when they talk about the moth eating it, it'd be like a moth came along and chewed on the currency. Or where thieves can break in and steal, or even vermin could come get in your sacks of grain. So the medium of exchange didn't necessarily look like a piece of paper. But those things could be stolen, or they could disappear. And so Jesus says, build up your treasure in heaven. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Treasure is linked to heart. And the heart, we understand, is being sort of the center of who we are. So in my reading and researching this week, trying to figure out what money is anyways, I finally found a definition that I think echoes what this scripture might be saying about money. Joe Dominguez and Vicki Robin wrote a book several years ago called Your Money or Your Life. They say money is something we choose to trade your life energy for. Money is something we choose to trade your life energy for. So going back to that bartering, if you chose to grow apple trees, then you have apples. Right? And sometimes they would say, we see money as something external to us, but really, it came out of life energy that we put into the world. And life energy is precious, it's tangible, it's finite. You don't get to keep money with you when you die. You don't need it there. You need it when you're alive. And what you do with your life energy expresses your meaning and purpose of your time here on earth. But then if money is what you exchange your life energy for, then ultimately, your money is how you're expressing your meaning and your purpose of your life here on earth. The other wisdom I gleaned from this book this week is that ultimately, you are the one who determines what this is worth to you. You are the one who determines what this is worth to you. In our scripture today, where'd it go? No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Serving money makes for a really crummy lifestyle because money makes a poor master. But if you are the master of the money, this can be a really good tool for your life. Remember, money isn't good or bad. It's neutral. It's this tool of exchange. So look at the money you have in your hand again. Oh, nope. Page 10. There we go. It's a tool of exchange. And I think what Jesus is saying is to stay aware of our relationship to that exchanges. To not let the money control us or to trick us into believing promises it can't keep. This dollar bill can't promise security and follow through. It can't provide self-worth. And when somebody says, "I can't afford that," I think it's a sign that they're letting money be the master of them. Because I was working on this sermon, walking around the house. This one didn't come together easily. Going, I titled this message, "What is Money Anyways?" And my very helpful 10-year-old daughter piped up and says, "Money gives you choices." Oh yeah, that's what I guess we've been teaching our child about money in our household. We've been giving her an allowance so that we don't get bugged by her in the checkout line. Can we get that? And I have to make all these decisions. So instead, we pushed it off to her. Where's your money? What do you choose? Oh, you left your money at home. Guess that narrows down your choices today. It's closer, isn't it, than "I can't afford it." Money gives you choices. And actually, a deeper question on that, of money gives you choices, would be, is it fulfilling? Is it worth it to exchange my life energy, represented in this, for that particular item or service or use? So look at that money you have in your hand again, and think about the life energy that went into that exchange. It may be significant, it may be a little bit of your life. But now, look at it as something that gives you choice. I wonder, what would be a way to choose to use it and exchange it that represents where your heart really is? Now, I'm not assuming that it's just going to go straight into the offering plate this morning, because I'm not here to tell you to put it there. God gives you free will. God gives you these choices. I'm not the master of your money. You are. It's your choice. But I wonder if maybe this gives you the choice for taking your granddaughter out for ice cream. Maybe it gives you the choice to buy a bag of delicious persimmons at the grocery store or a set of new towels. Maybe it's the choice to buy fuel that allows you to visit friends or family this afternoon or to get to your church. I wonder if you exchange it for medicine that helps you or your spouse's body function better. Or maybe you exchange it for your cell phone plan that allows you to talk to relatives and friends around the world anywhere. I don't think this question of what is money anyways has any one particular answer. It's complicated. But I invite you this morning to hold that bill and contemplate, what is money to you? And then if you dare in your prayer to ask for God's wisdom about what this money is and what God might want of your life and of your money. So I invite us, hold our bills, hold a bit of our life energy in our hands, and to pray. And to be in silent, asking, Lord, what do you want to do through me to accomplish your will through my church? I invite us to pray.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street, Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.